People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg, and there on the other side of the room, the very handsome, charming Mr. Larry Walling.
Well, thank you for that.
It's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you too.
I just didn't want to call you my friend today.
My friend.
I built you up.
You blew it. You did anyway.
I did?
I'm everybody's friend.
You are. You're people's friend.
I really do. I love people.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that in big, large groups of people, I'm not real comfortable.
Me either.
Because I'm like one-on-one kind of thing.
You and I are very similar. Yeah. We were born around the same, in the birth chart there, we were around the same. We're both very empathic people. So that is a problem for people like me.
It's a problem for all of us.
Can I tell you, like, when I go, like, if I know I'm going to, like, an event, right? Like, the radio station does events. Even if it's something like a mixer. Like, I can't possibly be like, I'm looking forward to this. Because all I think about is, like, how many people are going to be there that I have to talk to.
Yeah.
And instead of, if it's just one-on-one, I could talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
I'm good. Like, I'd be like, oh, if it's just this dude. But if it's, like, 30 or 40 people and I know I got to get to all of them, I feel like I need to spend equal time with each person, engaging them in some way. And I feel defeated when I get there. I'm like, oh, I can't do this.
Well, you know what it is? For me, it's just a bunch of surface minutiae. I mean, none of it is goes deep, you know? Because you're just making conversation. I'm not good at that.
No, and
I'm
good
really
at
not good at that.
Like, so what I'll do is I'll walk up to a guy like you or a person you,
okay,
and I'll say, like, I'll figure out how I can relate to you, right? So I'm like, oh, this guy's wearing a black T-shirt and blah, blah. I'll be like,
that's
I wear a black T-shirt. I'll be like, dude, you're dressed like me. I'm coming to you. And then all of a sudden, we would have something in common.
There you go.
I find my common thing, and then we just go from there, and it's never a problem. And I could do that with ease.
Yeah.
Here's my problem. 30 people are in the room with black shirts now, and I can't use that. So it's like, all right, so now I got to figure out each person, what I'm going to make it so I can connect with them.
Right.
This isn't because I'm crazy. This is because I am deeply empathic, and it's impossible for me to look at a huge room of people and want to be, like, in it. I just want to stand off to the side and sort of observe.
Yeah. I do that, too.
And then find one person to talk about it with.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a people watcher. I love to watch people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean...
You know what they call it?
Not a
voyeur. Creeper.
Not a voyeur.
No, I know you're not a voyeur. Listen, you're a people person in general.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
But just in large crowds, I'm just, it's not my thing, really.
And I know people who are very good. They live for big parties and events. Like, they're looking forward to those.
Yeah.
I'm the type that's like, I'd rather hang with like 4 or 5 people and really enjoy that than be with like 30 or 40 people.
Yeah, certainly.
Today's show is going to be different for a change.
Yes.
Let me tell you why.
Tell me why.
We've evolved as a show. A very slow evolution, I will say, but we've evolved.
I think in the right direction too,
absolutely.
Really. Yeah.
Because what we've realized is, and only from people telling us, this can't be like me just waking up one day and realizing, oh, this is what's going on. Yeah. I get word from people and that listen to the show. And they've said straight out, regardless of who you have on, we enjoy listening to the show because it's easy to listen to and it sounds like you're really doing something you care about, but also it's intriguing, engaging conversation. It gets me thinking about whatever it is you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great compliment.
It is.
Because
it is.
I realize the power of what we're doing is not so much you and I, it's the fact that we get this 30 minutes. And I like that as somebody who works 24/7 on the station, the music, the work with all the hosts, the commercials, everything that's on the station, I feel like it's nice for me to get 30 minutes to be in front of the microphone, even if it's just to do something nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many issues we are facing as a community.
We've had
earthquakes down in Southern California, which we know affect us because we're going to have one as soon as you know, when it's going to happen,
we don't know. Inevitable. Yeah. It's inevitable. We know it's going to happen.
Yeah. Are we prepared for earthquakes? Does anybody talk about it? You're not going to hear it on mainstream radio and during the day because it's not something anybody wants to think about, but we need to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like we could talk about these things and bring people in here and say, what do we need to be prepared? What should we do at the bare minimum to be prepared for an earthquake if it hits us here? Then we can also talk about affordable housing, which I see as a huge issue. Everywhere I turn in this market, there's homeless people, and they do not look like they belong on the street. It's because they can't afford to live anywhere anymore. They've completely been pushed out of the San Jose area as teachers and as policemen and as firefighters. It's not fair. We need these people in our community, and they can't afford to live here.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of us bringing in an expert, we should just start the conversation, bring some people in here to talk about it and see what we can do as a difference-making part
what
of this.
What do they call that? Like a brainstorm, think tank kind of?
It's sort of, yeah. I mean, it really is sort of a brainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's a collaborative effort, and it gives the listeners that are here with us an opportunity to get involved in something they're passionate about. Like if you have something you're listening to the show right now, I know there's at least one person. I hope at least.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you say, like, you know what, I'm really passionate about X, Y, and Z, and I just don't know how to do anything about it, well, maybe we can do something with you. You know what I mean? Like, well, come on the show. You don't need to be an expert. You're just passionate about
it. Yeah, we're not experts.
Maybe something happened in your life that hurt you and it hurt somebody you love, and now you want to make a difference. Like, I can't, what's her name? Andrea Ortiz Cortez, what's her name? AOC, right? What's her name?
No, you're wrong again.
Can you tell me her name?
Ocasio-Cortez,
right?
Yeah,
Is that right? Cortez?
Something like that.
Why am
really
I forgetting?
Matter?
No, but the thing is like she did this. This is what she decided to do. She was passionate about something in her life, and she decided, I'm going to take the first step and just run for local Senate. She took the first step, and she did it, and she keeps doing it that way. And now she's a person everybody in this country, except for me, knows her name. I'm saying that there
Ocasio
are
Ocasio-Cortez.
It's Ocasio. And I don't care what you think of her, you, me, or anybody. It's just the fact that she didn't stop until she got to where she is, and she's not going to stop until she gets to whatever the next level is.
It shows you anybody can make it.
That's passion, though, Larry. It's respectful. It's respectable. People that care, when you watch the documentary and you see how hard she worked and how much she cared to get where she is, it becomes irrelevant what she's passionate about. That's just the difference of opinion that you have and I have with her. But her passion and her drive is commendable.
Well, we could take that to a whole new level.
You don't have to agree. My point is that that's the kind of people I'm looking for.
I know.
The people that want to do something.
True.
So you're already, I could
see.
Which
shows you anybody can make it in America.
You know what happens? You're formulating, you have an opinion, and you're afraid to.
I'm not going to say it. It's not a political show.
I know, but the thing
or
is.
Or a religious show.
My point is,
mm-hmm.
I could see you're shutting down because of it and not listening to my simple
truth. No, I heard everything you said.
All right, thank you.
What was it?
See what I mean, people? You get it now? So here's the deal. I want to talk about a couple of things on my mind today.
Okay.
Let's start with the earthquake because the earthquakes. The fact that we had a 6.4 followed by a 7.2.
Well, I thought it was 7.1.
It might have been 7.1. I'm sorry. It could have been significantly worse. It was bad.
It was.
For some people.
Yeah, but at the time of day that the 7.1 happened is very unusual.
Oh, my God.
Very unusual.
And they said there were like something like 30 different tremors reported after it hit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is mind-blowing.
It could have happened during, you know, rush hour and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But thank God it didn't. Yeah.
Can you tell me, you have family down there. What did they say?
Rocking and rolling. My brother was...
They said it was a rolling earthquake, right?
Yeah. My brother lives in, well, where would you call that? Down by Fraser Park, Southern California.
Yeah.
And it was at night. 8:30, something like that at night, I guess. And he was in there flossing his teeth.
Flushing. I was like, what was he?
Well, a combination of flushing and flossing.
False teeth, so he was washing them in the toilet, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and he said, yeah, he stayed, you know, because he's macho. He just stayed in there and continued. And then his wife and my niece ran outside, so.
But what was the... I'm trying to pull up on my phone just so I get the specifics, but what would you say the impact in the community? Did it affect people locally? Was it more just if you were closer to the actual
Well, yeah. I mean, the farther away, there is a certain point. But the farther away you are, of course, it's not as bad. It's kind of like a ripple effect. It can be even worse or not as bad. But at the epicenter, I mean, there was a lot of damage, you know, a lot of damage.
It was in the hills, though, right?
San Bernardino County. I don't know exactly where, but that's where it was. And I lived in San Bernardino
County. Is that right?
Yeah. Wrightwood.
I will say, though, you know, when I got word, I actually got word from people from the East Coast that were like, are you okay?
Well, yeah,
and it came
say
through.
That, yeah.
It came, because again, most people don't realize the distance between.
Right.
Because you think, and you're on the East Coast, you know, everything's crunched into like a 30 states. Like if you drive down the coast, you could drive through like six states
you're
in
right,
a day.
You're right.
Yeah. So like, it's a little different here where California is basically like the size of like New York to Georgia.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
And when you think about the distance from when you're from far away, you think, oh, they probably felt that because they felt it in Vegas. But Vegas is actually closer than it is here, than we are to
San Bernardino. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
And I was like, oh, no, no worries about that. But I didn't even know how big it was. And then I went online and I was like, we didn't feel anything. Went online and looked and I saw 6.4. And I was like, I can't believe that just happened and I'm not hearing about crazy damage. Because I thought 6.4 would bring damage.
It does, actually.
Like a lot of damage, I mean.
But not typically a lot. And here's the other thing, though. It depends on where it's at. If it's sparsely populated, of course, that's one thing. The other is we've learned a lot from all the earthquakes that we've had here in Southern California for a number of years. And we keep on, after every major quake, improving on what we learned before.
Uh-huh.
And because retrofitting and all those things. So there's a lot of reasons why. That being the most important, I would think.
Yeah.
There wasn't more extensive damage. And the time of day.
Oh, of course. All of this plays into it. But what I always think about in the Bay Area, it's a little different. The layout's a lot different, right?
Yeah,
so depending
on
where, I know a lot of times the tremors and such will actually be coming right from behind us here, like
mm-hmm.
these mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And I always see that they have these minor tremors up in the, what do they call the mountains? That's the
same. These mountains right here?
Yeah, the ones over here.
Foothills.
I'll see there's like small, like 2.2s,
yeah.
1.0, that we just don't feel, right?
Yeah, right.
Unless you were standing near it. And I'm blown away because you don't realize they're happening so frequently all over the state.
Yeah, they are.
It's scary. But the worst part is not so much the thinking about that, because you can't live in fear. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we can be prepared, right? So like, are you prepared? If something bad happened and we had like a 7.5 or 8, would you be prepared?
Me personally?
You personally.
Probably not.
And you're probably more prepared than most because you're that way.
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm giving you too much credit, sir.
No, I'm like most. It's just like anything. If something happens enough in your life, no matter what it is, you get desensitized.
Yeah, you're right.
Uh-huh. And I don't think this is any different, even though it can be life-threatening.
Or is it you're just ignorant to the fact that it's going to happen?
Well, that's true. But I think with press and media and all that stuff, not many ignorant people around when concerning earthquakes.
I've asked several people, I wouldn't say a lot, but I would say at least 3 or 4 people since I've been here, like, are you prepared if there's an earthquake? Because they're always like, well, you know, it's part of life living in California, right? And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But like, the only thing that stinks is like, you could prepare for a hurricane. You could see these things are coming, right?
Right.
And you have a chance to get out of Dodge.
Yeah, you got warning.
Before, you know, and that's something, because my parents always say that they're in Florida. So they deal with hurricane season. And it's like, let me just tell you, for like 3 months, everybody's stressed out. It's like, is my house going to be standing? Because if you get hit hard, if you're in the eye of that storm or right on the outside, you could be just picking up everything in a bag.
True, yeah.
So it's nerve, but it's also part of life, and it's very unlikely it's going to be the worst case scenario. So you just kind of buckle in and, you know, put your shutters up, and if you have to, you leave and you go somewhere else and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Here, you don't have that luxury and you never will, because there's not going to be a way to detect something before it happens, or
well,
at least most likely.
Well, no, I disagree with that.
Well, I mean, in our lifetime, maybe.
Well, not even in our lifetime. I don't think so. I think there will be. Yeah, I mean, they've made a lot of advances that way. So I think that's a real possibility that they will be.
But they don't now. They can't.
They don't now.
So that's scary. So like, if you, but on the other hand, you can't live in fear. So you think, okay, what would you do? What would you do if that something happened? Are you prepared? I think at the bare minimum, you have to be able to think, I need 4 cases of water or 40 gallons of water.
Yeah, I think the rule of thumb is, don't quote me, you never do. But it would at least 2 weeks, but more like a month, a supply of water at least and dry goods.
I guess I searched earthquake survival kit, okay?
Yeah.
So this to be, I'm guessing would be, you see now it's all over you're seeing it all over the place now.
Of course you would now.
On like Inside Edition, they're actually like putting up articles about what to pack in your earthquake survival kit. What do you? I mean, I don't
I know it's common sense.
Like canned food and like, you know, things that'll last
a long time. Yeah, flashlights, matches, all that stuff, blankets, to stay warm because you're not going to have any power for a while.
Yeah, batteries, of course. Yeah. So you need to have these things like somewhere tucked away in a very reachable but like out of the way place. Mm-hmm. Here's what they got. Inside each bag, as soon as I say this, it like reloads the page. Inside each bag should be medication, a change of clothes, flashlight, portable radio, batteries, water, and food, right?
Portable radio? Are you kidding me?
Why?
Who has that anymore?
Well, that's what they're saying. Get a small radio that has a battery and you have it.
Your phone is
Yeah, but you're not going to, if there's an earthquake, you're going to lose cell towers. When Hurricane Sandy happened, we didn't have phone access for like 3 days and that was a hurricane. Trust me, you need to have, your phone isn't going to work. When 9/11 happened, being in New York, we couldn't use our phones for 3 days.
Yeah, you're right.
It's different.
I
hate
it when you're right.
I know, unfortunately. Yeah. What should also be in this package that you didn't think about? Paper map. This is like for real serious stuff, right? And you got to think this way because what's the worst case scenario? Paper map, cash. I don't know who needs that. Hand warmer, if only to trade things. Hand warmers, a copy of your ID, car and work gloves to dig yourself out or help rescue someone.
See, here's the thing. This list gets bigger every time we have a quake. It's never the same.
But it's just telling you this is some things you should be thinking about.
It is. I mean, my gosh, but you know what?
What would you say differently?
Nothing. But my point is that it's always going to change. So when you think of what comes to mind is imagine yourself on a camping trip.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah,
what do you take on a camping trip? Basically everything you need.
So you're saying we should...
I mean, that simplifies it, you know, simplifies it.
A tent? Should I have a tent? Should I have a charcoal grill?
You should have...
Or like a kerosene grill or something?
A lantern, anyway.
Okay, something I could cook on, like a...
All that stuff, but I'm just saying that a lot of people already have that stuff. But I'm just saying, it just when you think about... That's the simplest way
to put it.
That's a
good point. Yeah. And if you don't go camping, you know what generally is
needed. Yeah, basically. Because you need to survive.
You need to be able to
make it.
Stoke a fire.
Hey, let's look at it this way. Who in the hell is going to be sleeping in their house during a quake? Nobody.
No.
So they need some kind of shelter.
Well, I mean, during a quake, it doesn't last that long. It's the aftermath.
No, the aftershocks.
Yeah.
And if your structure is unsafe or unsound.
Oh, is that right? So this is good to talk about. So after the earthquake hits, the first thing you should do is leave wherever you are.
Well, a lot of people have to because their structure is not safe.
Yeah, but you probably don't know if it's legitimately safe if you're in it, no matter what the situation, even if it's a normal, like a rock solid
house.
Well,
think about it this way. If you probably haven't been in a major quake, but when you're in a major quake, the last place you really want to be is in your house.
So you go out into the street?
Well, pretty much. I didn't go back in the house for 2-3 days.
Yeah. See, that's scary.
It is scary.
Because then you just go outside, put on
Because you worry
shoe.
About it falling on your head.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's what I'm saying. And you might think, oh, everything's good. Look, it's still standing. But there could be some structural damage and it's hanging by a thread.
Here's the thing that everybody needs to know. When we have a major quake, any major quake, you're going to have major aftershocks. The major quake sets you up for collapse.
Right.
After that major quake happens, you have... hundreds and thousands of aftershocks after that.
Okay.
It goes on for months. So I'm saying, and they get lesser in intensity, of course.
Yeah. You know,
after the quake. But the thing is that after a major quake, a lot of times depending on the size of the quake, the structures are unsafe for gas.
Leaks, yeah, that's true.
All that stuff.
Less, like you said, like just structural damages, like things like if something, a hairline fracture in the foundation.
Anything, anything. Yeah. So what would happen in some cases, in the worst case scenario, is that they would probably have, like we did in the fires that we had in Paradise.
Yeah.
They had meeting areas, places where people would go and congregate. The same is probably going to happen when you have a major quake, because a lot of people can't inhabit their homes. So they'll go to a big field or something and live.
Yeah.
Tents or whatever, you know. It's like a homeless community. It's basically what it is.
You're right. And I mean, I think you see when things like that happen, people tend to band together.
Yeah, they do.
Or they destroy everything. Well, you know, they take the opportunity.
That's a fraction of society.
Yeah, but I'm saying like that's usually what happens. Either people come together and then you'll have those people that are going to do stupid things. That's just the way it is, right?
They'll loot.
But on the other hand, I always say it's in times like that where you really see people become one.
Yeah.
It's such a terrible thing that it requires like such a terrible thing that help bring people to work together and be like, instead of being like classes and different communities, you all become one.
Right? Yeah, you really do. I mean, and it goes across all the boundaries, you know, politically.
Yes, it doesn't matter, right? Sort of, at that point, you're all like down on the same level.
Yeah, 9/11, I mean, everybody was
like somebody
together.
Said, again, I'm being extreme, but like if things went really bad and it was like, everybody's fending for themselves in a situation like that, it wouldn't matter how much money you have. It wouldn't matter what color you are. It wouldn't matter what your accent is, because you're all kind of helping at the same level. You don't have any money anymore. Money is irrelevant. You know what I mean? It sort of becomes about life.
It is.
The other thing, it's funny, we were talking about this, about the way people come together and such. I think of this situation with those wildfires you were talking about up in
Paradise
last year. Yeah. Did you hear PG&E is actually doing this thing? They brought it in front
bankrupt.
Of the public.
I thought they were filing.
They're
for
trying
bankruptcy.
To raise their prices, build in a cost into your. So in other words, everyone here would basically pay like 1 or 2% more a month on your built into your price or your energy
for their negligence,
so that way they could make donations to help rebuild and for these people that were affected by the fire. But what's crazy is it was their fault.
Yeah, I was just saying that.
And they're basically making us pick up the tab for their problem. That's essentially what they're, and they were trying to position it as like, look, we're doing this for the good of humanity, and if we all do it together, this is worth it.
They're doing it. Like, they're doing it to improve their image.
Can you believe image? How does that help your image?
No, because they're trying to help, right? This is what they're saying.
Yeah, they act
you
like they are.
You believe that?
No, I think they're actually just desperate.
Yeah.
More than trying to improve their image. This is the only way they could go about it and maybe pull the wool over
our
eyes, right?
If you're dumb enough.
Yeah.
God, I just
why do you tell us how you feel, Larry?
Isn't
it crazy though?
It is.
What's wrong
with these? It was just a matter of time. I knew they would pass it down to us. Doesn't it always happen that way?
Yeah, it does. But we usually aren't told they're going to do it. Usually they just totally do it. And now at this time they're like, listen, this is what we're thinking about.
That's
what
they need to stay solvent.
Solvent.
That's right.
I hear you. I will find it. I do find it rather funny though, because if you saw the people that stood up and went to this hearing where they did mention this, and it was yesterday, then you've covered it on the news, and just listening to the people in the community and how they talk, like, well, are you serious? Like, you're going to do this to us? You think that we're going to pick up your tab? It is one of those things where people kind of band together, you know, like we're going to.
Well, here's the other thing, Greg, is that this is the second time that this has happened. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. The other time was in Napa or Sonoma, where we had all those wildfires up there 2-3 years ago.
Mm.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Same kind of thing. A big wind blew down a power line.
Okay. It was so, but that's not their fault, because Mother Nature knocked them up.
It's basically the same thing happened here. It was a very intense wind.
Yeah, but apparently they were.
They say it was a transformer.
They were at fault for what happened. Like it was their negligence led to the problem. Whereas in that case, I don't think it would.
I think it was okay. I think it was.
I could be wrong. I'm not saying.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong either. But I'm saying it was on the line.
Yeah.
It was on the lines right there.
But it is funny how these bigger corporations, like they, I mean, look, let's face it. If they're the only game in town, which they are, yes, there's no other electric company I know about. Like if they shut off my electric, I can't go to another one and be like, hey, can you do my, I'm going to go to you now.
Yep.
There's only them as far as I know. And here they are. How is that allowed to happen?
It happens everywhere.
Come on.
Look at the state of California. I mean,
they're the only game.
2-3 years ago, you know, we were like really in bad financial straits. Apparently, we're, you know, in the plus right now. In the black.
We should get money back on our taxes.
Yeah. So up until that time, we were getting taxed for everything. There was tax on tax on tax.
Our taxes here are the worst.
They are. To pay for that. And did you ever notice that, you know, when we're out of a drought, stay here long enough and you will, the water rates never go back to where they were.
No.
They never do.
Oh, this always happens. Like gasoline. It's like
everything.
I went to New Jersey back in whatever it was, January or whatever, and I was like, why is your gas only like $1.97 a gallon? And they were like, what is yours? I'm like, it's like $3.50. And like,
kidding? That's cheap.
And that was at that time, though. Yeah. It was because it was around after Christmas time in that area. Yeah. It usually gas is cheaper because people don't drive as much in the winter.
Yeah, summertime it goes up.
But regardless, it was still high. And she's like, you're almost like double our price. And I couldn't even believe it. And New Jersey is, it's not like we're talking about like Arkansas or something or North Dakota. You're talking about like one of the hubs of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, of the country. Same with New York. And gas is way cheaper.
Yep.
I just don't understand. And they were like, well, that's because in California, there's these taxes because they have refineries on either end of the state. And because of that, like you're paying for the driver, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's just a crock and you know it.
I know.
And this is what they do. That's politics.
It's so bad. And then like I think of that whole thing with what were you just talking about?
Ocasio.
No. What? That was like 45 minutes ago.
Well, you said what I was just talking about.
That wasn't that long ago. That was way.
Same conversation almost.
I'm talking about the most recent thing, not something from the beginning of the show.
What?
About the gas, the electric. It is amazing to me PG&E. That one company is allowed to control the whole state's
That's
electric.
What you call a monopoly.
It is. Yeah. And like yet Verizon and like AT&T, they aren't allowed to have a monopoly, rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Walmart isn't allowed to be the only department store. You can't block people from doing. Like how are they allowed to do it? In that one field, there's no competition.
Not up here, but in Southern California, Southern California Edison down there.
And that's the only one down there.
Yeah.
It's not like you can go to another choice.
No.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it's not like cable companies.
Yeah,
where
you can choose.
Yeah, you can choose.
Even if you're getting, you know, beaten down in all of them. Car insurance?
Truly.
You're not like, here's your only car insurance. You got to go to this guy. Imagine that. It's like, hey, I got to get car insurance for my car. I'm going to the same one that all 700 million people go to.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I'm going to the same guy. So they're going to give me, the rate is what it is. Like, they're not going to give me a different thing than this guy's going to give me. So it's all the same. You imagine if that was your, people go crazy, but we accept it with electricity.
Yeah, we do.
It's just crazy. Yeah. It's like we've just, no worries. Do what you got to do. Charge us whatever you want. And then when you make a mistake, we can't even do anything about it because I can't go to somebody else and prove my point. Can we just hike back 1 second to the last note on the earthquake situation?
Yeah.
What I would like from you, Larry, is if you could explain the very basics. I know there's a lot of people like myself that haven't lived through one that are living here. I know we have a lot of our listeners just moved here within the last year, 2 years, 3 years.
Oh yeah.
What is the bare minimum? Something happens. What do they do? Who do they call? Or what would you say the first step, second step as something bad happens or an earthquake happens?
Well,
can you
typically,
give me that?
I mean, you call your utilities, most importantly, the gas company, because of a line break with your gas. Now, the first thing you want to do is know where your meter is and shut it off.
Right.
Turn your gas off.
Get that off.
Yep. Have a wrench just tied to your gas meter. And when after the quake, after the shaking stops, go out and turn it off.
Okay.
This is how it used to be. The first thing you want to do. Who are you going to contact? Well, good luck, because the lines are going to be so jam-packed. I mean, typically they tell you to stay off the lines, phone. Listen to your radio, because there will be an emergency broadcast on your radio. Everybody go to your radio, however you can do that. Yeah, everybody. That's one, the other thing you want
That's
to
why
make
you
sure
get that emergency broadcast on your TV, because that'll cut through even without.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So that's what you want to do. Make sure you have something like that on hand where you can listen, and they'll tell you and instruct you as to what to do. Then have your survival kit with everything that
they talk about. Well, the one thing you were saying, think about camping.
Think about camping. That's just the most rudimentary thing to think about, basically. Because what do you do when you camp? I mean, you're basically creating a shelter, an environment that you can survive on. And that's what you do.
Right.
Basically, I mean, that's just kind of like nuts and bolts.
The nutshell, that's sort of what I was looking for. Because I mean,
simplifies it, though.
You really don't want to overwhelm people, because it's so easy to think of like, think of the worst case scenario, and it's overwhelming. But when things like that happen, there's so much chaos around you, you're not going to think of details at that moment. That's why you want to make it as easy on yourself as possible. This is something you could probably do while we're talking. If you're home, you could essentially do this.
Yeah.
Take the things we mentioned you do have and put them in a bag, right? So even if you had like 3 of the 10 things, you started something. And then like when you go to the store next time, grab a few more batteries, grab a little. I know I went to Big Lots the other day and they had like this little radio. Like it was like, looked like an old school radio from like the 40s
transistor
or 50s.
Radio?
Yeah. And it was cool. And it just looked cool. And I was like, I should buy that, you know, just because it looks good on the shelf. And I thought like, well, that would be something if I bought it. I could use that because it was battery operated.
Yeah.
It was like cool little thing. And I'd have that. It's small. Throw it in my bag. Those are the kind of things. And if you have a starting kit, even if it's not filled, you're closer. And I think progress is good. So that's what I would do.
One of the easiest things we can all do is make a list. Just handwrite a list down. You know, you do it on your computer, on your phone, you're going to lose it anyway. So if you handwrite it, unless you throw the paper away, keep it in a safe place.
Yeah.
You'll always have a list, and then fulfill the list. Start doing it now. The other thing that's changed, and this is what happens, like I say, with every quake, is where you would usually stand, or where did you want to place yourself during a major quake. It used to be in a door opening. Now it's not.
Yeah.
Now it's lying next to your bed or a couch.
You told me that last time. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop talking. We're going to say goodbye, and we're going to continue
this short.
We're going to continue this next week, and we have more to talk about in line with all these things we discussed today.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with another edition of People Helping People on Bali Radio. Thanks for listening.